Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you just receive an inheritance? Take a breath, then call our team. We'll help you honor that legacy by making smart, tax-efficient decisions that protect your future.
Don't guess, get advice. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It's got a Super Talk Eagle Hour. It's on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, and we're glad you're with us. Thank you very much, as you do every day, for tuning in. Opening segment is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for dinner any night of the week. Great place to cater your next event, whether it might be an upcoming baseball game at the Pete. I hear they're going to start playing pretty soon. Dickey's would be a great place for you to go. All right, speaking of baseball, we're going to hear from Davis Gillespie and Ben Higdon a little later in the program. I think we've got a softball player we may be hearing from, too, as the ladies get ready to take on school from up north later this evening. We don't like to repeat those names here.
it's an S word.
Correct. But first, we've got a guest in the studio, and we're really glad to have Todd McCall in the studio with us, longtime athletic trainer for Southern Miss Athletics who has retired. And Todd, you've been a fixture for a long time on the sidelines. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're the guy that doesn't get a lot of attention down there. Everybody's watching the coach and the quarterback. But, man, you're the one that keeps them going. And how entailed is your job on game day watching these kids and helping them physically get through a tough football game, for example?
Well, you know, we wear a lot of hats, that's for sure. You know, I don't know. I mean, we do so many things. I think a lot of times it's good that we stay behind the scenes and a lot of people don't see us. I always tell people, if you see me on TV during a football game, I'm either having to drag somebody off the field or
right.
I'm telling the coach something that he's not very happy about. So, you know, the health care, you know, I mean, it's all about the health care for the student athletes. There's so much build up throughout the season that just goes into game day. You know, first you've got people that get hurt. You've got to evaluate them. You've got to get them seen by the doctors if needed. But the rehabilitative piece and the challenge to try to get some of these, you know, things, the bumps and the bruises and those types of things, trying to get them back on the field. I think that's the biggest challenge that we have, but that's also the most fruitful thing that we do, getting to work with these kids one-on-one and getting them to see them, you know, get back on the field and do the things they love to do and be successful.
We're going to talk about football for a minute. How many coaches have you dealt with?
At Southern Miss alone or all throughout my career?
Southern Miss.
Oh, goodness. So you see, you had Bauer, then you had Fedora, then you had Ellis, then you had Munkin, and then you had Hobson, and then you had, oh, man, during COVID. So I had Billings,
Walden,
and then I had Hall, and then we just had Huff. So
12.
You know, yeah, we're 12? Getting on up there.
All right, were any of them as outspoken and non-shy as Todd Munkin?
No. And I'll tell you right now, I love Munkin. The one thing that I always appreciated about working with Coach Munkin, if it came up, it came out. You know, and I mean, you always knew where you stood. There were never any questions about what was going on. I mean, he was very upfront, and, you know, but I always respected that because, you know, with what we do, there's a lot of communication that goes on behind closed doors about these athletes. And, you know, if there's something going on, I want somebody to come back and tell me, look, you know, I've got an issue with this, or we've really got to have this happen to get this kid back on the field. I mean, I like the communication piece, but, yeah, I mean, he was probably the most outspoken person I've ever worked with.
It would seem to me, Todd, the toughest thing about your job, and you referred to it earlier, is, look, this sports is a business. Mm-hmm. It's big business. You got important people in this business. Obviously, the safety of the athlete, but we got to get that guy back as soon as possible. That's a really tight rope to walk when you – yeah. You got coaches saying, we got to get this guy back, wink, wink.
Well, think about this. I think the last time that I actually talked to you all on the radio was when Nick Mullins was out with a concussion. And there was a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things going on behind closed doors with, once again, the evaluation process and how we return them to play. And but, yeah, there's the pressures to get your top guys back on the field. You know, people don't understand. I mean, that's a stress of its own kind. But, you know, on my side, we still have to do what's right by the athlete. And, you know, there's a lot of buy-in that, you know, goes on with the athlete, too. I mean, you know, if you're hurt and you've got a swollen knee, for example, and, you know, the question is how well do you think you're going to be on the field if we put you back out there in 3 days for game day? So we have to take, you know, kind of their perspective on the matter in as well. So the decision-making is interesting.
But, you know, they're always going to say they're ready.
Not always.
Good. Oh,
not
tell
always.
Us about
and,
that.
And now, okay, so that's a great question. Let's look at it this way. 15 years ago, there was no such thing called the NIL. Today, there is such thing as the NIL. They look at the things totally different. 15 years ago, you're exactly right. Todd, if I can walk, I'm going to play. Today, it's not quite that simple because you've got other things and other people in these kids' ears. You've got their agents talking to them. You've got the mentor. So it's just different. You know, the personality of the situation, I guess, is the best way to put it. It's different. However, I'll sit there and say this. Usually, you know, these kids, they want to play. And I think that's the, you know, the one thing that you can't deny is they want to play. So we don't run into a lot of problems. I think just the way that the approach is a little bit different today than what it used to be.
You mentioned it before. You covered a lot of – not covered, but we're with a lot of coaches. I guess with the change in the NIL, how different was it going from Hall to Huff than it was maybe from Munkin to Hobson?
You know, I think – you know, when Hall got here, we were just coming into the NIL era. Mm-hmm. So I think that Coach Hall came in, and I think, you know, coaches that came in and started that era, you know, I think they were kind of feeling their way through it for the first few years. Mm-hmm. When Huff got here, he had a plan. He had already dealt with it before. He'd been a head coach at Marshall. He was already into the fundraising. I think that he was a lot more prepared for it than what Coach Hall was for the simple fact that he had been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's how you look at the difference between the two.
I guess there was such an emphasis on the strength and conditioning program this all season for the team last year. Of course, a couple players went down with injury, Braxton being one of them. But I guess for the most part, that team stayed relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what goes into that, and just you know how were y'all so consistent on that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that goes back to the weight room. You know, I think that if you ask anybody out there, the question is you know what is the you know, how are strength coaches evaluated? How are athletic trainers evaluated in this business? It all goes down to, you know, what are the injury rates that you have on the field? And when you start looking at injury rates, you've got those that are contact injuries. You've got those that are non-contact injuries. First and foremost, what are the soft tissue injuries that you have to deal with? Do you have a lot of those? Do you not have a lot of those? And you have good years and bad years. I think that, you know, the crew that was here last year, I think they did an outstanding job in the weight room because our injury rates were really low. Braxton's injury was a contact injury. You know, that's a football injury. You can't sit there and say that you can avoid those. But if you look at the injury rates that we had last year, we had a really good year, and I think that had a lot to do with our success on the field by far.
All right, Todd, how long have you been here?
This is my 23rd year.
Okay. And so what's next in life?
Well, I had a unique opportunity come available. You know, I've got a lot of friends in the business. And, you know, back – it was actually the day after the bowl game on December the 24th, I got a call. And a young lady that used to be the head athletic trainer at Central Florida, her name's Mary Vanderheiden. She is now the medical director for the United Football League, the spring feeder league for the NFL. Mm-hmm. She offered me a job, and it's a four-month opportunity to get back into the pros. You know, I had an NFL experience and a Canadian Football League experience in the early part of my career. And along with my retirement, I've got my retirement years in, guys. That matters because, you know, once you get 25 years in the system, then you can start pulling a retirement check. And if I hadn't have been that far down the road, my sick and annual leave hours, you know, thrown into it, then I was able to sit there and take advantage of the retirement status. Otherwise, I wasn't looking to go anywhere. But I'll be working with the Houston Gamblers, and, you know, I think it's going to be something that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you have certainly done a lot for this university. You've helped a lot of kids, a lot of athletes, a lot of coaches, because you got their athletes back on the field or the floor. And we're grateful to you for everything you've done, man. Are you planning to come back to Hattiesburg after your four-month deal?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of a bittersweet deal. I've been, you know, so ingrained with athletes from across all sports. It wasn't just a football situation. Correct. For me. I've dealt with them all. Not being able to see a lot of those athletes be able to participate this spring, that's going to be something that's tough for me when I leave.
Well, I just congratulate you on enjoying your retirement, because there are a lot of people at Southern Miss that should have retired years ago that are still walking around losing money in their retirement. I'm just going to leave it at that, but good for you, Todd.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hey, Todd, thanks very much for coming in, man.
Appreciate y'all having me. I look forward to seeing y'all again in the fall.
When we come back, we'll talk a little softball and baseball. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Todd McCall for his service at Southern Miss over the years, and I wish him the best of luck in his new ventures. And we thank you very much for coming into the Eagle Hour studio. Speaking of Eagles, Eagle Tire West is where you need to go for premium Goodyear products, full service truck and car work. It's all at Eagle Tire West. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They've been family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters, as is Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our show. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, let's move on. Softball tonight. Man, the ladies got off to a great start, Demo. They're on the road tonight. Going to be a tough matchup for them, right?
Yeah, they're on the road in Mississippi State, the number 19th ranked team in the country, Mississippi State, who's undefeated after winning this weekend. They beat Baylor as one of the teams that they run-ruled them. Through five innings, they beat Northwestern State, Wichita State, and New Mexico. So a really good Bulldog team playing this Golden Eagle team. I think this is a nice measuring stick to see where this team is at. If you look at the history between the two programs, Mississippi State has beat Southern Miss 20-4. So 20-4 in the overall series, which, I mean, that's not good at all. But it will be interesting. That's a 4 p.m. first pitch, so just in a couple of hours, actually. Yeah.
One of the kids on the field tonight will be Kerry Green. She is an outfielder, a new face.
Yeah, freshman, and she was really good over the weekend. Batted .357. You know, started on all five of the games. Had five hits. Did not have an RBI, or excuse me, she did have one RBI, but she was just a nice on presence hit. And you know, .357. You can't ask for much more.
So it's Kerry Green.
All right, Kerry, tell us about now second year at Southern Miss. Last year was kind of a learning curve, so to speak. Now second year into it, still loving what's going on in Hattiesburg. Let's talk about this particular team. How would you compare the 26 edition to the 25 edition?
Yeah, honestly, I think we have a very good team this year. I think we have a lot of improvements, and I'm really excited for this year. We have a very good class that just came in, transfer and freshmen. They're a very good group, and they bring a lot of new assets to us, and I'm just excited for what this year has held.
Interestingly, in the recruiting process, you had shared that you'd never heard of Southern Miss, you know, but then here you are and you love it. So take us through that metamorphosis, if you will, from coming here from Georgia and how it all turned out to be.
Yeah, so when the recruiting process started for me, I had met a former coach that was here, and he brought me down here, and I had never even heard of the school, Southern Miss. I didn't even know what they were about, and I got to meet Coach Poole, and I absolutely loved how she was to me as a person. She really put just my faith, my values above everything else, and made me feel loved, and that's just something I really look forward to in a school. And then the campus was beautiful. I loved it. And it was just all up from there.
Yeah, but I mean, growing up between Atlanta and Athens, I mean, it's like sacrilege not to be a UGA Bulldog, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, growing up with the UGA fans made me dislike them.
Oh, make you dislike them? Yeah. Okay, awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so what are the realistic there's coach speak and then there's player speak. What are the realistic expectations of this team?
Honestly, as us girls, we always talk about just like, you know, playing together as one. This is a team sport. It's a sport of failure, you know, and everyone's going to have mistakes. Everyone's going to mess up, but it's how we bounce back and it's how we support each other from there on out. You know, we're a team of love and joy. We just want to keep spreading that. And, you know, just working together as a team is our main priority.
Now, growing up as a kid in Georgia, did you do any of the competitive dance or soccer or any of that stuff? Tell us about your athletic background as a kid.
Yeah, I played soccer actually a lot growing up. My mom played soccer and tennis in college, so she was really upset when I didn't pursue that more. But I really just played softball the majority of the time, and I played for Georgia Impact and then moved to a team called Top Gun in Kansas City, Missouri, and they were very competitive and helped me a lot to get where I am right now.
So what's the key to playing a good left field?
Honestly, the main thing that helps me is just my reads off the bat and my speed. It's I get a really quick jump, and that helps me catch a lot of the balls.
How are you different now this year from last year? It's only 1 year, yeah. But still, like you said, it's a process. Mm-hmm. How are you different as a player and as a human being?
Yeah, definitely the mental side of it. Last year, you know, coming out as a freshman, there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of different things that you're not used to, and I would say that, like, emotionally, like, I would get into my head about things that I definitely shouldn't have. And this year, I'm like, you know, it's a team. Like, I play for my girls, and what I do out there is what I do out there.
What is going to be the difference in accomplishing the team goals and not? I always talk about how injuries, you never have any control over them. But, man, it's terrible when people go down. You're counting on those people.
Yeah.
But what are some other things that might go into be roadblocks for you guys to accomplish the goals that you want to get done?
Yeah, injuries is a big one. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of that right now, but also just, again, like the mental side of everything, mm-hmm. like staying positive and looking at the good in all things and not the bad in all things. You know, there's a lot of uncontrollables. Weather's an uncontrollable. Umpires are uncontrollable. The other team, the fans, that's all uncontrollables that you just have to tune out, and you have to focus on your team and your team goals that we have here that we want to accomplish.
And UGA fans are uncontrollable.
Oh, yes. Big uncontrollable.
Okay. How often do you get back home?
I do not go very often. In the fall, I go back for maybe fall break and Thanksgiving and, of course, Christmas. But in the spring, I don't go home at all.
Now, once softball is over, you've kind of made a career choice that the world of television was actually very influential in that decision. Fill in those blanks for us.
Yeah.
Watching TV programs when you're a kid. That's okay. Tell us about it.
Well, I grew up with my grandma like a lot, like over there at her house, just watching different things. And, you know, she's inspired me to do a lot. And, you know, I never knew what I wanted to be in life until, you know, I started watching it with her, which is kind of morbid. But
well, tell us, because I didn't mention the show. So
yeah. Well, I never knew what I wanted to do, but then she was watching these true crime documentaries. And, you know, there's a lot about crime scene investigation. And I was like, you know, that's really interesting. That's really cool. Like, I never knew they could do all this stuff. Like, technology is crazy nowadays. And I was like, you know, I want to pursue that. And, you know, Southern Miss actually has a forensic science program, which a lot of schools don't. So.
So that's where after softball's over, that's where you're headed.
Yep. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Well, we wish you the very best, Carrie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, Carrie Green, everybody. And I'm glad to hear that. That's what my daughter majored in here. My daughter worked for the State Crime Lab for about 4 or 5 years when she got out of college and saw all kinds of really cool, gross things.
People in Mississippi don't do bad things, Bob. What are you kidding?
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah. She saw quite a number of them.
Yeah, but Carrie Green, you know, a sophomore, not a freshman. I said freshman to start, but sophomore, you know, starting off really good for this season. The softball team's really encouraging right now. 4-1 right now. Obviously they're going to play tonight against Mississippi State. Even if they lose that game, they have winnable games this weekend in that Florida Challenge they're going to. Right. So
how big would a win tonight be?
That would be huge.
They knocked Ole Miss off last year.
They did. And that game was at home.
I want to say this too. The one common thread when you talk to all these players, aside from each other, when they talk about Coach Poole, they say the same thing. They said, I feel loved and respected. And look, it wasn't long ago, and we're not going to pick at an old scab, but there was a while ago at Southern Miss softball, it was a pretty negative place. But the fact that these young women say that they feel loved, they feel respected, and that goes – it's not just all about winning necessarily, but it's good to know that these girls feel that way.
All right, coming up, we've got a lot of good stuff coming this week, and Adema has confirmed. Now, we're going to have the play-by-play voice of the California team that's coming in here this weekend.
Yeah, not the play-by-play voice, but a writer who covers. No worries. Yeah, a writer who covers UC Santa Barbara. So it'll be really interesting to hear his view on Southern Miss and just kind of, seeing what the vibe is over there. I'm all about the vibes, and seeing what they think about Southern Miss. His name is Mark Patton. Hopefully have him on Thursday. Yeah. So really excited to hear that. He, of course, wrote the article that was kind of going around Twitter yesterday that said that UC Santa Barbara was pumping crowd noise to get prepared to play at Pete Taylor Park.
But isn't that great?
It's insane. But, guys, we're 3 days away from baseball. It's crazy.
And all it cost us to get him on the show was a crate of tofu and avocados, Bob. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I'm going to tell you, I didn't really think too much about this school when I first saw the schedule, but I've been doing some research and looking at all the polls there in every poll. I don't know that we've ever had this great a top 20 matchup here to open the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be the best opening series since that Mississippi State series, 7 or 8 years ago. But, it's going to be really awesome. That Friday night game should be everything you hope to see in a college baseball game between what those arms that are going to be on the mound. And then all the rest of the games following that. I mean, it's not just like the Friday night, you're done, right? You got two more games after that and they're going to have good pitchers after their guy, and Southern Miss is going to have a good pitcher after their ace. So,
yeah, low scoring games, you think?
Oh yeah, I would anticipate very, very low scoring games.
And Sunday the weather looks a little sketchy.
Yeah, it does.
But
it
Friday does. And Saturday look pretty nice. So yeah. that always helps bring the crowds out.
Are we talking here doubleheader on Saturday?
Shh, do not say that, Bob.
I don't really like doubleheaders. One of my great memories as a kid is my dad taking me to Washington Senator doubleheaders, and
we're not saying anything about a doubleheader considering there's a women's basketball game and a men's basketball game that day too.
But it was cool. But you went to some major league doubleheaders.
Did you get to see Frank Howard play?
I did actually. Frank.
Did you really?
Either struck out or just knocked the hell out of the
ball. Well, that's usually what those guys do.
Yeah. But we'd watch the first game, then we'd go up, eat hot dogs and stuff, and watch the second game. It was great, great memories. You ever do that?
Peeking through the knot hole in the center field fence.
It was fun, man.
During the break, we're going to get on our knees and pray to the good Lord that he loves the Golden Eagles, and there's no doubleheader this week.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Ben Higdon, who I think is going to be a big stud this year for the Golden Eagles. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good to hear from Carrie Green, and we wish the ladies nothing but luck tonight against some old mean women up in Starkville.
Oh, you said the S word. I didn't. We're not supposed to say the S word.
The school. I just said Starkville.
Oh, well, I know, but that's still an S word.
Yeah. D-Bat sponsors this segment of the show. We don't want Mississippi State down there because that's where you improve your batting. You've been to D-Bat, right? You hit the batting cages.
Yes. In fact, I was legitimately thinking about going sometime this week again. It was so fun.
It's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
He hit the batting cages. It doesn't mean that he hit in the batting cages.
How did you do it,
I hit the ball well. I'm actually sport inclined, Kelly, that I actually can play sports. I hit my golf ball straight.
You homeschoolers? You can play sports?
I try to play golf once a week, and it normally goes straight. Mm. I actually, you know, had a nice birdie the other day on the second hole. It was good for you. So. Mm. Mm.
Closest Kelly comes to a birdie is eating fried chicken.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I had a hole-in-one on June 6th of 1990 at the 10th hole at the now RIP Southern Miss Golf Course.
Did you really?
I sure did.
Did you celebrate?
I didn't even really know that I hit it, except that the 11th tee was right above the 10th green, mm-hmm. and I saw the guys jumping up and down, mm-hmm. so they saw it go in, but I didn't
There's
see
no
it.
No chance. Then
you didn't find your ball. You couldn't find it because it was in the hole.
That'd be the last place I'd be looking for it. Yeah.
I do not believe that.
True story.
We'll put our investigative crack team on that. But call them when we get off the show, would you put? All right, Ben Higdon. Guys, I think Ben Higdon's going to be a big stud. He was the one I mentioned the other day that, good gracious, I mean, he stood beside me, and he's massive. He looked like a linebacker for the football team. Kind of give us your view of Ben Higdon.
He's going to be in right field, you know, replacing Carson Pato. And, you know, he has big shoes to fill out there in right field. But I think his power is going to be about the same that you saw out of Carson Pato, right? This was a, you know, guy who kind of came on late last season. I think what they want him to be this year is a 10 to 15 home run guy, which is who they thought he was going to be coming from Kentucky. And I think he has every ability to do that this season. Is he going to do it? That's the question. You know, you're just going to kind of have to wait and see. But if he can be like that, then you're talking about a bottom-of-the-lineup guy who's giving you 10 to 15 homers.
Here's Ben Higdon.
Okay, Ben Higdon on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Spring's about over. Time to about get going. Game week, your thoughts, Ben?
Man, we're itching. We're so excited for this year. I think it's a really special group. As you guys have seen through the inter squads and all that, I think we're really going to be able to pitch it, and we're going to put together a lot of good at-bats through and through the lineup. So, very excited.
So, Ben, you fought through some injuries last year, but you got really electric toward the end of the year and sort of capped it off with an all-tournament performance during the regionals. That kind of momentum, does it carry over, or is that history?
You know, I would like to say it's history, but it does carry over. You know, to feel that high is very hard, and our coaches do a great job of, you know, keeping us level. Not riding the roller coaster is what they like to call it. So not getting too high, but not getting too low either. So the momentum carries over, but it's a in the middle momentum. So
you're playing a lot of right field here in these scrimmage games. If you move to right field, obviously you're going to start somewhere. Will there be a big difference, left field, right field?
At the end of the day, we joke and kid about it a lot, but our job as outfielders is to catch fly balls, just catch a pop-up. So, you know, it's been a different transition. Obviously, down there by the Roost, we got a little more foul territory and 16-ounce lounge. But Coach Rhodes and even really Carson Pato have helped me out a lot over there getting used to that. So,
have you played there before?
Yes, sir. I have played there before. So kind of got a feel for how that ball spins and that sort of thing.
Another thing I've noticed during some of these scrimmage games, as good a hitting team as this is, there are times that the pitching staff just almost looks unhittable.
Man, it is a great problem to have. We have so many unbelievable arms, and we, you know, Oz is going to have a tough time putting all these guys in. It's a great problem to have, and our pitching staff is legit this year.
Okay, you come here from Kentucky. You've been here a while. I have to ask you, what has your journey been like?
Wow, it's been awesome. Just been so blessed, and thank God, no doubt, for all the great people that I've been blessed to meet. And, you know, wouldn't like to end it in any other place, man. I've been welcomed with open arms and really appreciate the people of Hattiesburg and this coaching staff and all that stuff. So I'm very excited.
Okay. Your expectations for the team and for yourself this year?
Ooh, tough one. As a team, man, there's no other expectation that I would like to have but to take it pitch by pitch, out by out, and inning by inning, man. Just stay in that moment, and we can be very special, no doubt. And I would say the same for myself. Just take it out by out, inning by inning, and pitch by pitch.
Well, Ben, we're glad you found your way here, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Okay. Thank you, Bob.
All right, Ben Higdon, everybody. And that music that you hear in the background, when you're at baseball practice, Oz controls the music. And Oz has really good taste in music, a little Coldplay. I just heard all kinds of good rock out there.
Correct. That's his motto. He says, you can control the games via their walkout songs and things like that, he says, but at practice, it's my music. So if you ever go to one of those scrimmages and you're wondering why there's not, you know, rap or whatever the various walkout songs might be each game, it's always going to be some kind of Coldplay. You know.
Well, Cujo needs a little time off, you know, because, I mean, he's got the football and the baseball. No, basketball responsibilities, yeah. So springtime, he's busy doing graduations and proms and all that other kind of stuff. So I guess some time off.
All right. Another kid that we think, obviously, will play a big role on the team this year is Davis Gillespie. Set the table for that one.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who I'm, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't read my story coming out Thursday, which nobody has, but this is a guy I'm driving the bus for.
Where can we read that article?
HubCitySpokes.com. You can find that on there and on our website. And find it on my Twitter too, but this is the guy I'm driving the bus for this season. Of course, started off so well last season and had a great freshman year, then just spiraled off towards the end of last year. Every scrimmage I've been to so far, he's hit a homer in, and he's just looks so much better, looks even bigger, and I expect big things for him this year.
All right, here he is. Okay, Davis Gillespie on the Super Talk Eagle Hour has really become one of the, I think, cinder block players of this baseball team. Looks like you've had a really good fall and a good preseason. How are you physically feeling?
Feeling great, you know, just really can't wait to get this season going. We're all really excited and can't wait to see what's in store.
You're a great example, and we've talked about you quite a bit. You're a great example of what we would all hope to see in college athletes. I know at the end of last year you weren't playing your best and you didn't get on the field as much as you want, but I got news that you never hinted at leaving. You were just going to work hard, come back, win your job, and here you are.
Of course, yeah. You know, personally, it was tough, you know, having the year I did last year, but it was fun to watch the team come together and, you know, do what we did here. But, you know, personally, I feel like it was unfinished business, and we did as a team, you know, so we definitely want to keep pushing this year and go all the way.
Your stick looks really good this year. How well are you seeing the ball?
I'm seeing good. You know, this summer, me, Coach Creel, and Coach Rhodes got to work, and, you know, things have gone well so far, and we can't wait to, you know, get the season going.
All right, Davis, you saw a couple of good guys leave this team last year, but getting a lot of preseason national love, a lot of indication this is a really talented baseball team. Writer for D1 told us he thought it might be the best Southern Miss baseball team. That's pretty high praise. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about this year's team?
Yeah, that's all something to be proud of, you know, the preseason stuff. But, you know, we got to go to work no matter what they say about us. We're going to have to prove it from day one until the end of the season. But we're all definitely excited for sure.
Do you see players on this team that, in your estimation, can step up and replace the Monasteres and the Ozzie Pratts?
Yeah, I guess, for example, at second base, Kyle Morrison, he's really impressed us, you know, this fall and this preseason. And there's other guys, you know, I could go on and on, but, you know, we like what we have, and there's definitely a lot of guys that will fill some shoes this year.
All right, your goals for yourself this year?
Just come out every day and get after it. I'm going to play, you know, every single game that I get out there as hard as I can.
Well, I can tell you that everybody's glad you came back, and we're looking forward to you having another great season.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. I appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Good luck to you.
You as well, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's Davis Gillespie. There's not a stronger kid on the team, is there, from a batting standpoint? I mean, he can just smoke it when he connects.
Yeah, I mean, he's really strong. You know, there's so many players who can go yard on this team, which is why the lineup is so deep this year. And like I was saying about Higdon, right, when you sit down and write a lineup, like this week, I'm doing my lineup projections. I'm sitting down and writing a lineup, and I'm like, why is Higdon in the 7 hole? This is a guy who they want to have 10 and 15 home runs, or Stockman. Why is he in the 8 hole? It's like, well, I'm not going to put him ahead of this guy. I'm not going to put him ahead of this guy. This lineup is so deep. You got Stelly, Morrison, Russo, Gillespie. I mean, Dre Barrett, Stockman. I mean, it's just – it's so deep, and there's so many players who, even if one of them, you know, can have a breakout season, it's a good lineup. But, I mean, we're expecting breakout seasons from four or five of them, not to mention all the pitchers they have. Yeah. I mean, it's an incredibly stacked team of veteran presence, and you can kind of see it. Oz is very, you know, he's always going to say, well, I want to see it on the field. But, you know, he's kind of itching to say it, like, guys, this is a pretty good team.
Well, you sound a little optimistic to me, Damon.
No, I'm very optimistic. This is by far the best team that I've covered, and I've covered the team for 5 years.
Well, Oz told us on the show Monday that he's pretty much already got in mind what he's going to go with, you know, on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I don't – I mean, this thing with Davis Gillespie should not be a surprise to anybody.
He's a stud.
I mean, when he first showed up on campus, I said, this guy – keep this guy in mind. He's going to have a future.
I think you heard from two big sticks today on the Golden Eagle baseball team. All right, news and notes next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team, that's fun, but you're the most important player. Make sure you get an annual physical, stay close to your doctor, be sure your health is as good as it can be. And the experts at Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Can't have a show without saying hello to our good friends at MCS Home Center. That's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center with local folks eager to serve you. Here he's getting, getting his peepers out. In case you missed yesterday's show, we've been making a lot of fun of Kelly about his feminine reading glasses. And the folks at MCS Home Center brought him a pair of men's peepers, and he's just proudly wearing them.
Bob, these are the most fantastic reading glasses. Mm-hmm. I mean, and actually, Dima, they're so good that I am seeing construction movement at Reed Green College.
Yeah, he rode down 4th Street last night and said he saw a fence.
Nobody else sees it. But
then he woke up and realized it was a dream.
Yeah. I was like, really? That's pretty cool.
Dima had the joke of the year.
Oh, yesterday. That was fantastic. Yeah. For a guy that has zero sense of humor, it was fantastic.
Okay. Hey, high school baseball in action tonight all over around the area. I'll be at Pedal at Sumrall, which should be a fun game.
Well, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, that's a great start. There's all kinds of games tonight.
Major League Baseball pitchers and catchers report today. Of course, everybody seems to think that everyone's playing for second, the way the Dodgers have loaded up that lineup. But I'm proud as a Tigers fan to report that longtime Tiger Cy Young Award winner Justin Verlander back with the Tigers. Who Justin Verlander, by the way, is a Sun Belt Conference
Kelly,
graduate.
You were from Iowa originally, but you're really a Mississippian. You've been here forever. How did you attach yourself to such losing teams as Cincinnati and Detroit in baseball?
Well, when I was growing up, the Tigers were in the 68 World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Bob Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Was that the only World Series that's ever been in?
No, they've been in some other ones, but they had all those big fat pitchers. You know,
maybe the Little League World
Mickey
Series.
Mickey Lolich and Denny McClain and all those guys.
And you liked them.
I did. I just really... Yeah. Like those guys, and I've just once I attach myself to a team, man.
Oh, you're a loyal fan, though. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Cincinnati Bengals. I started being a fan when they came into the league in '67, and just I said, you know, I'm a new fan. They're a new team. I'll just attach myself to them. Poor choice, but I was only I was only 6 years old.
Well, you can't help it. I remember years ago, my wife walked in a room, and I was watching the Redskins lose. I think they won 3 games that year, and they were just getting blasted. And she looked at me and she said, why do you do this to yourself? And she walked out of the room. And I didn't really have an answer. But I was just drawn to them, like watching a car wreck. You know, you just you're thinking every week, this is the week. This is Next week's going to be the week.
And you lost Sonny Jurgensen last weekend.
Yeah, and what an icon.
Yeah.
What a great NFL icon is the great Sonny Jurgensen. There's no question.
And he was 90-something.
He was. Played at Duke and went on to play for Philadelphia and then the Redskins. Of course, he kind of made his name with the Redskins. And then was the longtime, one of the longtime color commentators on Redskin radio. And in his last years, they treated him like he was royalty, you know. In his last couple of years, he only did home games. His health really didn't allow. But, yeah, he was well into his 90s. And, man, I grew up idolizing Sonny Jurgensen and the great Billy Kilmer.
And Billy Kilmer played for the Saints for a while.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. So you're right. That's a loss there that that you really can't overcome.
Kind of puts things into perspective. You know?
Yeah, but he lived a long, good life, man.
You guys ready to laugh a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's the latest on the Winter Olympics, Dima?
No idea.
I told you, you guys. Are you ready to laugh?
Does anybody really watch the Winter Olympics?
Not around here.
Trump said he wasn't. That was pretty funny.
No, he said he was. I did see the Lindsey Vonn deal, and she's a real patriotic young woman. I just happened to see that they were had the downhill skiing, and I do find that kind of entertaining. So I happened to be watching when she took that awful fall, and she was trying to ski with a.
She was injured already
with a knee injury.
Yeah,
she had suffered just a few days earlier,
and that's interesting.
She'd torn her ACL.
We were talking with Todd McCall earlier, you know, in the show about. Man, athletes, they always want to play.
Yeah.
Right. So they'll always say they're ready. But
do you know those women were hitting 75 miles an hour on skis?
And I've snow skied a couple times, and that's what scared me the most was the speed that you get. And I wasn't even going very fast, but right. I can't do that without something around me.
They're athletes, you know, my friend. They're athletes.
Man, those skiing your legs have got to be so strong.
Right. Skiing is a lot of fun.
Did you want to give us an Olympic up? Let's do that every evening. The last segment, Dima, during the Olympics, would you like to be responsible for the Olympic
update? I would not like to be responsible for that. I got way too much more on my plate than to keep up with all that. Right.
And see, I thought Dima would come in here telling us that Natsuma Takahashi of Japan has won the skeleton individual medley relay or
what's
whatever.
What's the one where they have the broom?
That's
curling.
Curling.
What in the world is that? Who does that?
Hey, your buddy Jack Duggan loves curling.
No.
Yes, really? He does.
I'm going to have to ask him about that. And then I saw that in the Summer Olympics, they actually have flag football scheduled.
Are you kidding me?
I tried to go to the Olympics one time and couldn't get tickets. So I went to the local Economy Supply and got like some barbed wire, and I started to walk into the athlete's entrance. They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm on the fencing team."
Southern Miss.
I'm on the fencing
team. Southern Miss.
We get it, Kelly.
Southern Miss.
You know, barbed wire.
You sound like someone else.
Get loud, get loud.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.